welcome to another episode of the Blue Team Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. I'm Colin Byers, and with me, as ever, is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along.
Thank you very much.
Right, this week we'll be looking back at the draw with Forfar. We'll also preview the upcoming match with Park Thistle at home. So, Martin, how's your week been?
Yeah, so far so good. It's weird that another week through, more than a quarter of the way through the year as well. It's quite scary.
I went at the Easter holidays already, and not much of a holiday for us. No. With the Bairns, kind of the unseasonable cold snap coming in.
Yeah, Saturday looked like it was barbecue weather, and then you get to Monday and you've got a blizzard and -3, so it's a typical Scottish weather, shall we say.
I've had to put the fire back on again, the heating's back on, I've got the winter duvet looked out again. it's just playing havoc with my life this weather, but by the time I get back to my work next week, I'll be fine.
Well, you're hoping.
Aye, I'm hoping, aye. It could be worse. We could have been sitting at Balmoor on Tuesday night.
Yeah, that's true.
Because that would have been cool. Anyway, right, let's go on to the action then. Our last game against Forfar on Tuesday night, 1-1 draw. Initial thoughts?
hugely frustrating result, but a very positive performance. I think the performance is probably one of the better ones that I've seen in Peterhead, even going back the last couple of years. I thought first half we're at Forfar is probably the best we've played in, yeah, as long as I can remember. But it's just that lack of finishing that's cost us ultimately in the end. I know that Forfar keeper, McCallum Hayde, had a good game, a lot of good saves. But our inability to convert our chances sort of proved to be we're downfall in the end.
Starting lineup was the same that started against Clyde, which is unusual, but given the players that he's got available, which is all bar two, or three if you include Isaac Lane, who's now on loan at Dumbarton, I would say that's probably his strongest lineup.
Yeah. I think the team that he also played last night, as you mentioned, was the same as played Clyde. I think a few players had a performance to prove to him, so to speak. I think everybody in the club, from we spoke to them on Tuesday last week, they were disappointed with not only the result, but the performance. So I can see why he stuck with the same team as well, trying to get a reaction. And yeah, on paper, it probably is the strongest team at his disposal.
I think with the exception of maybe like Kyle Bailey or Jordan Brown on the bench, you're pretty much, that's your starting 11. So you might look at that and say, well, that's good because he knows he's starting 11. However, if things aren't going well, who did you bring in?
Yeah, I think even if you go back to November, sort of December time, you'd look at the bench, but you didn't really fancy any player to come on at that time, with all due respect, that would change the game. You know, they were sort of bench fillers, but I think now he does have that squad when everyone's free from suspension, that they are fit, that he does say a couple of players that he can change it with. So I do think there is positive signs there. It was always going to be a small squad, you know, given the pandemic and the money situation. But yeah, I think he's got a good squad and one they can now maybe utilise.
To be fair, there was a period that with so much injuries and suspensions that we thought we might get on the bench at one point.
That was a concern.
Aye, even Lenny Wilson was trying to make us aware that he scored a hat-trick once in a game over in America just to make sure he was playing. So, but yeah, everybody's back as well, and that's a good sign. But it's a good core of a squad, good core of a team, and young as well, which can only be good, providing obviously everybody sticks around for a year or two.
Yeah, you would like to think that some of the players that Jim's brought in, I know like so Hamish Ritchie is only on loan till the end of the season, but you'd like to think that there's a couple of players there that Jim will definitely be looking to keep on next season. Off the top of my head, Naya Payne, I think he's shown a lot of glimmer so far that he would definitely be there next season. And if that's a deal that could work, I'm sure both parties would be happy. And as you said, it's a youngish team, and you're hoping they can maybe gel over the next year or two.
So the game itself, it's fair to say we dominated the first 15-20 minutes of the game. I think I could count on one hand how many times that Josh Ray actually touched the ball in that period, and most of the time it was It was for a back pass.
Yeah, I think what our target intent was good last time. I've got to hear my notes. We almost had about seven shots within the first 20, 25 minutes. As I said right at the start, where lack of goal scorers sort of really costless. But, you know, McCallum did have a good game. But as you said, there wasn't much touches from any of the back line, so to speak. They were four forward quite deep. We attacked well. But again, it's just that lack of finishing that really has cost us dear in that game. Because the performance was really good, and it is frustrating that we've come away with just a point.
It's not like Mark McCallum to have a good game against us, is it?
He's making a bad habit of it, I've got to say.
Right, I'm getting sick of him now. Scott Brown probably had the most of the efforts here in week three. And to be fair, their shots, that they were all on target. They were testing the keeper. Because sometimes you can be firing shots from all directions and just blazing them over the bar. But they were, first and foremost, they were hitting the target.
Yeah, I think to be critical of our attack and play, I think the shots were comfortable for McCallum. I don't think he really had to test himself that much. He still got to save them. But I think we had Conroy a shot outside the box, Ben Armour just inside the box, Scott Brown's two effort in the first half, again, just inside the box. So saves you'd expect him to make. We maybe just need to work into better positions quicker to really try and test the keepers.
I thought the tempo was a lot quicker as well, as opposed to what it was against Clyde.
Yeah, I think we got that inkling from Jim last Tuesday, then, where he wasn't happy with the general playing, the speed of it. So again, with the same team, it was no surprise that we came out of the traps flying. That was good to see. It's almost like they got a bit of a rocket last week, and Jim's reiterated that point on Tuesday before they went out.
Stephen Boyd caused Clyde a lot of problems. He caused Forfar a lot of problems again on Tuesday night. I think we're just starting to see him come back to the player that we have been missing for the last maybe year or so.
Yeah, last week he was good, and then he got taken off. Obviously, he hasn't played much games, but there definitely is a player there. We've seen that last year as well. And again, if we can keep him fit, I think this next, we've got 7-8 games left, he'll play a huge part in how well we finish the season. And again, if he can link up with Ben Armour and chip in with a few goals, because it's certainly something we're lacking, then I'm sure it'll be good for everyone.
Yeah, Andy McDonald as well, he had a long-range effort as well, which is good to see, because there was periods of time where every player bar Josh Ray was inside the four for half. So many times that Jason Brown and Andy McDonald were coming forward with the ball into space. It just shows you how deep it four were.
Yeah, they've probably seen Peterhead in recent weeks and realised that we don't have that many shots and targets, so they've probably felt that if they sit deep and, you know, with a keeper like McCallum in your goals as well, you'd rely on him to make saves. And he did that last night, as you said. It was a long-range effort from McDonald. But again, as I mentioned, Ben Armour and one of Scott Brown's shots were just inside the box. So again, we're moving to work into a better situation.
Now, there was an incident right on half-time. Peterhead got the corner. Referee gave the corner and signalled for the corner, then blew the whistle for half-time, which then resulted in Stephen Boyd and the manager, Jim McAnally, getting yellow-carded. You can understand the frustrations of both. Does the referee have any kind of excuse for A, giving the corner and then blowing the whistle and then booking both Boyd and McAnally, in your opinion?
I don't think you need to book them. Given some of the things that we've heard in the park during this season, to get booked for a comment or a corner seems a bit daft. But, you know, to give the corner and then blow for half-time, I know by the law, if the ball's gone out, it's a dead ball situation, he can't blow for half-time or full-time, whatever he wants to. But it just seems slightly weird that you'd give the corner and then they allow it to be taken. Normally you see it, the corner's allowed to be taken, and as soon as it's gone out or cleared, then the whistle comes. But, yeah, strange to give it and then subsequently book McAnally and Boyd.
I think that was kind of Jim's point. He's given it, so let's play the corner, or didn't bother giving it in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if it has gone out of a corner, you can then just blow for half time. But the fact that he signaled for it and then not allowed it to be taken, it just seems a little strange. But again, I don't think you need to book either the player or the manager for it.
Funnily enough, I was actually thinking he did quite well up until then, because he seemed to allow the game to flow. He wasn't picking up niggly little fouls and things like that. He was quite happy for the game to flow, and then he kind of blots his jotter slightly with that one.
Scottish referees have got a habit of that. They'll lure you into this false sense of security, I think, they're having a good game, and then they'll come away with that, an absolute stinker like that. As you said, refereed a good game up until then, but again, go back to, I don't think you need to book either of them.
At that kind of stage of the game, half-time, 0-0, Peterhead dominated it. Was there any thoughts in the back of your mind that perhaps this is one of those kind of games that unless we score first, we could end up losing it again?
Yeah, I thought it was going to be a case of one of them games where, because you're not taking your chances when you're on top, you see it so often in football, come back to bite you. But I did feel that if we did get the first goal in the game, that I didn't think there was enough in for up until that point that they would actually score themselves. So when we did take the lead, it was pleasing, because I thought we'd go on to not only get a second, but, you know, control the game and see it out. But alas, that wasn't to be.
It was clear Forfar were out for a draw, or at least not to lose the game, because even with their own free kicks, throw-ins and things like that, they were taking so much time. I think at one point, even in the first half, one of the Forfar guys kicked the ball away on their own. On their own free kick, just to kill a bit of time. So it was obvious what their tactics was, and I guess, and as we mentioned before, and I think it was last week against the Clyde game, it's up to Peterhead to try and break them down.
Yeah, as we said, Forfar set up in a way that knew that would frustrate Peterhead, and it was up to us to break them down. Forfar and Tell to do what they want. If they're happy with a point at home, you know, they probably see Peterhead as one of them teams that they can get something out of. The fact that the game went on longer at 0-0, they would feel that they could maybe try and sneak something at the other end of the park. A wee bit like the Clyde game, I felt that they set up with a tactic a wee bit like for last night, and they would grow into the game. Unfortunately for us, they got something at the end of it.
Hamish Ritchie, who we've been praising since he's joined from Inverurie, got his first goal and got the opening goal in 60 minutes with a terrific little wee finish.
Yeah, composed finished. I did think when he got the ball, there was a tendency maybe to snatch at it, given the fact that it was a really good chance, but how wasteful we'd been previously, and the fact that he was able to tuck it home with a calm, composed finish was really pleasing.
And for all the long-range efforts that McCallum did quite well with, it was the one that was inside the box and it was sort of placed past him was the one that got away.
Yeah, it was a good ball through to Hamish as well, over the top, good pass. But again, I go back to it was composed, he's a young man, but we've seen that with Hamish in the couple of games that he's played. He seems a really good footballer, he's got a footballing brain, as I would say, and to be able to get in the box, given the game that McCallum had been having, to then slotted past him on the hour mark was good.
That's what you want to see from your midfield. If you're playing almost that one striker, that lone striker up there, you need to see at least one of them, you know, busting a gut to get in the box, helping out the lone man, whoever it is, and not only get there, but, you know, can tuck away a finish.
It's normally the role that I think Ben Armour and Stephen Boyd are playing together, that Ben Armour would come deep for it and Stephen would run in behind. Last night it was Hamish. He did it. He did it really well. And if that's something that he's going to add to his game over the next couple of weeks for us and chip in with a goal or two, then, I mean, we've said before that we're pleased with the addition, but we're even more pleased come the end of the season if he's got two or three goals to his name as well.
He might have had a second shortly after that as well, but this time he did kind of snatch at his shot and drag it wide.
Yeah, one of the, a little bit more composure. If I remember, I don't think he had much support in the box either, so it's probably one of them he had to take on, but yeah, it was a wee bit wasteful, that one.
Maybe one of those again that he'll look at and if he gets a chance like that again, he'll maybe put it away the next time.
Yeah, it's one of them. He's snatched it. You can sort of see why he has. He's got no support in the box. But maybe if he just checked back inside and held up for support, you never know what might have been. Hindsight's a wonderful thing.
The goals obviously change things, but to be honest with you, I don't think there was much else in that second half that was really noteworthy of such until about 7 minutes of time for the penalty. First of all, I don't think there's kind of too much doubt about the decision.
No, to me it's a clear penalty, taking him out. Ball was sort of going nowhere as well, so yeah, a bit reckless.
I think there was a bit of confusion as well as whether or not he was sent off. He did leave the field, but I noticed Falkirk Twitter after the game said that he wasn't sent off, he was just going off to get a cut looked at or something like that. So there was a bit of a confusion as whether or not he was sent off, but he wasn't sent off. Stephen Boyd was the one who took it. Obviously, when a penalty gets missed, you will say it's a poor penalty. But I think this one was a really poor penalty.
Yeah, I'd also say it's a man lacking confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Whether he was the right person to take it, only Jim and Stephen will know in their mind whether he was. Excuse me. Poor penalty. He's not tried to hide it in any way, shape or form. But having said that, Callum's got to save it as well. Not only has he saved it, it's gone by for a corner kick. Like I said, I'm going to go, hindsight's a wonderful thing, but I'm not sure that Stephen was the right person to take it, lacking a bit of confidence,
but he did step up to take it, which, again, for a man who hasn't scored since October, in the League Cup against Brechin, I guess you could almost praise him for still wanting to step up and take it, because it would be easy for him to hide.
Oh yeah, absolutely. no debate in the confidence for him to step up for it. I just think the execution was poor. But having said that, he'd probably take another 100 penalties and score the vast majority of them. It's just unfortunate. Had the penalty been missed and we'd gone on to win the game, you sort of put it to the back burner, but the fact that we've missed the penalty and then moments later they've scored, the two go hand in hand, unfortunately.
And of course, if he does score, it's 2-0, that's game over.
Yeah.
Because as you said, within minutes, they go up to the other end of the park and essentially again score with their only shot on target, which is what they did when they beat us 1-0 up at Balmoor.
Yeah, I mean, you say score. There's a lot of debate of whether it went over the line. I think you sort of get to know by player reaction. Naturally, the four of our players are appealing for it, but I think Josh in goal, his reaction as well, would sort of suggest that it maybe has gone over the line. The linesman was quick to flag back to the halfway line as well. So yeah, maybe it has crossed the line, but it is frustrating that it was their only effort and goal.
Right, the linesman, I think, who was like Usain Bolt, he was halfway up to the halfway line before anybody realised what was going on. But again, as many times as we kind of knocked the officials, at least he made a decision, because there's no way the referee could make the decision from where he was.
Yeah, I think there was a case to say that the official would have been, you know, well within his right to say he's not 100% certain and it's not a goal, or and just, you know, not made a decision, as you said. But credit to him, he's obviously been very confident, because as soon as the ball has been sort of parried back by Josh Ray, the linesman has been very quick to flag low and then run back to the halfway line. So he's pretty certain in his mind there's a goal. Again, it saved any confusion between the referee and linesman and players. So, yeah, credit to him. He's been very quick to give the decision.
It's a missed opportunity, I think, to get a wee bit more of a gap between us and Forfar at the bottom end of the table.
Yeah, I think the performance was really good last night, and the fact that we've not come away with 3 points is disappointing. But when you look at the results from around the grounds last night as well, it probably makes it even more infuriating that we've not got the 3 points.
Given the results elsewhere again, as well, East Fife and Partick drew, even though East Fife were 2-0 up at half-time. Airdrie have won as well, so, you know, the results haven't gone our way, but, you know, the positive is we're still within, 5 points of second place?
Yeah, the When we came back and we beat Airdrie, okay, granted they got Kyle sent off within the first couple of minutes. We then go down to Barton, and really good performance, good finish by Ben, and won the game 1-0. We're looking upwards. I think what's shown the game against Innismuir and Clyde, and obviously subsequently last night as well, that although we're looking up the table, there's certainly that doubt in the back of your mind that you don't want to get dragged into a relegation battle. And the fixtures that we've got coming up in the next couple of weeks are going to be massive, considering what you started off with Airdrie and Barton, you got 6 points, and then you get 1 point in the subsequent next two league games. It's frustrating. It's maybe just a reality check for me, for the players and everyone that, you know, we're far from the finished article here, and we really need to be watching just over our shoulders so we don't get dragged into something that we should be, you know, well clear of.
Does the lack of goals start to worry you? Because you look at our league, we've got, 13 in 15, which is not a lot. Yes, okay, we've only conceded 16 in that same amount of games, but 13 and 15, isn't that enough to get you up that mid-table kind of range?
No, I looked before we came on tonight, but as you said, we've scored 13, and then you've got the Barton with 6 and 4 for who have scored 9. So I think scoring has been our problem all season. I think defensively we've looked a lot better than we did last year, but the lack of goals is a concern. It almost feels if Ben isn't chipping in with one or two, then we're going to struggle. But you tend to find that Ben's goals come in bursts rather than, you know, being consistent over a season. And if you're relying on one player, then you are going to struggle. So it now is becoming a concern. It's proven more prevalent game, and obviously for last night, that if you've got a goal scorer, then, you know, they do change games.
Ben has got 4 and 7. You know, hasn't played much because of injuries, but when he has played, he has provided the goals. The next highest scorers are Scott Brown, who's got 3, and then Lyle Cameron, who isn't come back for his parent club. So
yeah.
After that, everybody else has scored 1. So one player is no longer at the club, scored 3. One has played every game and scored 3, and Ben, who scored 4 and 7. So yeah, you then start to kind of look at everybody else and think, well, where's the goals coming from?
I think not just to blame the strikers, you know, the supply into them has got to be good. We've said numerous times now that we're set pieces and we're crosses generally on the whole are poor. So again, you start looking at the build-up play and how can that be improved on. I know there's a lot of games, trainings few and far between, but there just needs to be that, you know, working the ball into the box needs to be better, and trying to create chances. Obviously, you look at the stats last night, and it would probably say that we've maybe had, 7, 8, 9 shots on target. But when you break it down to the likelihood of scoring, you know, one or two of them would be classes, goal scoring opportunities. The rest are just shots and goals. So we need to work better at trying to work keepers and ultimately scoring goals.
As you said, defensively, we're looking pretty solid. We've got a goalkeeper who he's got about 6 clean sheets already so far, and looking pretty solid. The back four has changed a few times this season, but there's that kind of core now of Jason Brown and Andy McDonald, who seems to be the centre half pairing. They're obviously only played about 3 games together now. How do you kind of assess how they're getting along together?
Yeah, I think they will be a good pairing. They've shown very early signs that there is a partnership developing. We see a lot at Balmour that their communication, I think, is a lot better than what maybe has been with Jason and previous partners at the back. I think that Wandy alongside Jason's game will also improve with that experience round about him. So, yeah, I think that partnership will be good. And as you said a moment or two ago there, we're defensively a lot better than what we have been last season. So that's something that we can build on. If we can just get the goals scoring goals to improve as well, then, you know, we've got the nucleus of a really good team.
We've got Partick Thistle next, East Fife away, and then Falkirk to finish up before the split. That's the 3 games before we go into the split. How much points do you think realistically do we need to get away from that bottom end? And how much you think we'll end up with?
I think ambitious, but I think really to have it all in our own hands, you're probably looking for 7 out of 9 points. What I think we might end up with, again, optimistic, I think 4. I think the Clyde game in Forth is a reality check. Praising the guys to the hilt of the Dumbarton game and certainly says that, you know, we're looking upwards. Is there a chance of finishing that top 5 just outside the playoffs? Now the reality check sort of hit in, you sort of think to yourself, well, we need to first of all cement ourselves in the division, but let's not get dragged into a relegation battle. Clyde are picking up, you know, points. I kind of have a couple of games in hand as well, but I think 7 points would see you sort of clear, but I think out of this next 3, I think if we got 4, maybe wouldn't be the worst return.
I think the fact that we've lost to Clyde and then drawn with Forfar, games that we probably looked at and thought, yeah, we should probably get 6 points out of that.
Yeah.
You're now just a little bit more cautious, realistic, whatever you want to say, in terms of getting points out of this last 3. But having said that, this Falkirk seem to be already stumbling at the top end. East Fife threw away a 2-goal lead. We've beaten Partick Thistle already, so you just never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, we've said for about 2 years now, this is the sort of division that anybody can beat anybody. You know, we could get turned over 3-0 by Partick, or we could turn them over 3-0, and nobody would be surprised at either result. I think that's the fascinating thing about the league, that you can look at any fixture and see that anybody can beat anybody. But I think Saturday's game will be tough, probably even tougher now that we've not won on Saturday. But there should be a confidence there that we do have that performance in us. And if we can get the goals to sort of back it up, then you'd fancy our chances.
So let's look at Saturday's game, then Partick Thistle come to Balmoor. I think it's safe to say, and it's ironic for us to say it, but I think Partick Thistle are probably one of the most inconsistent teams in the league. And I say that purely on the basis that when they got relegated and once the season started, you'd have expected them to be one of the ones at the top end.
Yeah, the team is sort of flattered to deceive a wee bit. They've certainly got the ability within their squad, but too often, again, ironic for us to say, they didn't perform to the levels that they're capable of. I think that'll be the frustrating thing, that 45 minutes last night they were 2-0 down, but then the next 45 they've gotten a draw out of the game. So, frustrating team, a bit like ourselves. You just never came to this whole team would turn up.
I think you and I have mentioned it or spoken about it to kind of off air a few times this season about Partick Thistle, and the fact that it was the same way when Falkirk were in the league last season. I think they kind of just expected to come down and almost bulldoze their way back up again, and they got a bit of a culture shock slightly to how high the standard was in League One, whereas Falkirk have they made changes and brought in a new management team in David McCracken and Lee Miller. I was going to say Lee McAllister, no, that's the answer boxer. And certainly if you brought him in, you wouldn't have messed about. So, you know, they've lived there, learned that, but Partick Thistle seem to be sticking with Ian McCall for whatever kind of reason.
Yeah, I mean, the back of their minds, they probably feel as long as they go up, they're going to be happy. So whether that's going via the playoffs, would that be the worst thing for them? Who knows? Only they'll know that. But they are a team that flatter to deceive. I did think that, you know, just the last couple of weeks that Thistle sort of stuttered. Was it 1-5, something like that in the league? So, I mean, they're not exactly firing on all cylinders, and you would wonder how long McCall's got if, for argument's sake, they lose on Saturday and, you know, sort of find themselves struggling in the playoffs, considering you've got Montrose, Cove and Airdrie all fighting out as well. So, yeah, I mean, he's probably going to be looking over his shoulder, and he's wanting the 3 points just like we are.
One and six is what they've got.
Six.
That harps back to the game that we beat them doing there. Was the first one of that 6. So and they're starting to concede goals as well. As I said, the last 2 games have been 2-2 draws, which you might think, well, we're going to have a chance here, but as we just said a couple of minutes ago, we can't score.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine to see that Thistle are conceding goals, but as we've mentioned, we aren't exactly scoring bundles ourselves. What does suggest that Saturday's game could be quite open, and it's probably one of them that you feel the first goal in the game would be, you know, crucial, depending on what way it goes. Hopefully it goes for us and get the 3 points, but yeah, it certainly won't be an easy game. Thistle have certainly got something to fight for. You know, they've probably got aspirations of still winning the title. As we said, it goes into that split of the, after the next three games as well. They'll be fancying to go up as champions, but it'll be tough.
We had a week's grace between the Clyde game and the Forfar game, and it seemed to kind of galvanise the team. As I said, it helped the performance, especially kind of first half. After this game, we've then got another week between games, whereas everybody else will be playing. I think majority of them will be playing Scottish Cup or through the week. Is that going to be a help, do you think, as we kind of get into the nitty-gritty of the season?
Personally, I think it really depends on the result. I think if you've got a win, you know, you've got that week of being pleased and it's been a positive result. I think if you've been beaten and you've lost by a couple, then as many players will tell you before, you just want to get back out and play the next game. So I think in the back of your head, it probably makes Saturday's game even more important for the players that you know you've got that week off coming up. Whether they'll, you know, I'd imagine there'll be a training session thrown in there as well, but you want to go into that on a positive result and trying to get yourself clear of the bottom two or three.
The key man to watch out for, I guess, would be Brian Graham, top scorer, 7 goals. Experienced player, but the squad that they've got are you know, thousands of games between them, high levels as well, so they'll know how to ground out a result should they need to on Saturday.
Prime example is, as you mentioned just before, come on, they were 2-0 down against East Fife and they've gotten something out of the game. They know what they're doing. They're a savvy sort of team. But the confidence that we've got is we went down to Firhill earlier on, back end of last year, you know, and got a positive result. We got the win. And you're probably thinking that you're going to need the same level of performance to get something out of the game on Saturday.
As we said, you know, we asked the question about how many points you think we should need. Would you take a draw out of this game? Or is this one you think, I wouldn't say a must win, but... you know, would you prefer to win, but would you be happy with a draw?
It is difficult, just as you're saying there, that you know, you'd probably take a point, but then going on 1 point for Clyde and Forfar, is it a game that you, as you said, they almost have to win, but you'd like the 3 points? It's difficult. I think if you get a point and another point on the board, it's a step closer to avoiding the drop or a relegation playoff. So at this moment in time, probably take a point. That depends on how well we're playing Saturday, so I'll let you know at 10 to 5.
10 to 5, as we're walking out wide again, we'll be thinking, okay, here we go. I think, to me, unless things go completely pear-shaped, I kind of see us getting sucked into that, put a 9th, 10th position. I know it's early days, and the guys in Clyde and Forfar have got games in hand, Dumbarton have got a game in hand to us as well, but I think we should be safe enough.
I do think that over the next three games, we've got to get a win from somewhere. I think if you play them three games and you've only gotten a maximum of 3 points, I think it might be a different sort of end to the season. Still confident that we won't be dragged into it, but you look at the games that we've played, Clyde and Fulham, played in Forfar, sorry, and just got in 1 point. It's, yeah, maybe squeaky going into the next couple of games.
I think it's more important to get points off of Partick Thistle and East Fife than it would be against Falkirk in the grand scheme of things, because they are the two it's round about us. You want to take points off of them so that they don't start pulling away from us.
Yeah, I think if we've got teams running about us that we can sort of keep in touch with, then brilliant. Again, it's just about creating that gap. I know Clyde occupy 8th, but even, you know, you're looking at that team in 9th and you're trying to just extend that lead over them, and hopefully we can get the win on Saturday that allows that a bit more breathing space.
And let's hope that this snow and bad weather disappear by then, because the last thing we want is a game to be postponed and played at a later date.
I know it can be bad up in the northeast for weather, but I think looking out just now, we should be fine for Saturday at the moment.
At the moment. I'll ask you again in half an hour, because it could change. That's how bad it's been. But we'll certainly, when we're there on Saturday, we might need to wrap up warm again.
Yeah, as I said, when we came on, it looked like it was going to be barbecue weather, and it was on Saturday, and then a couple of days, and you've got the snow. So one of them, you don't know whether to just take a T-shirt to Balmoor or whether you look at the thermals again. It's April in Scotland.
Love it. Absolutely love it. And folks say we should be playing summer football.
Summer football, yeah, I know.
Right then, that'll do it for this week. My thanks to Martin for joining me, as always. And we'd both like to thank you all for listening. That'll be it for this week. We'll be back again same time on Wednesday next week. So we'll see you all then. Cheers.